Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What a time to be an American. What a time to be in Washington, D.C. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. What an office this morning. Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke was gracious enough to let us do our live show from Capitol Hill, from his own office here in the Cannon House office building. Congressman, Mr. Secretary, Commander, good to see you, and thanks so much for hosting us here.
You know, great to have you in the office. It's not as big as the interior office with the grizzly bear in the corner. But behind me is actually an elk from the Ron Marlin Ace shot.
Oh, is that Ron Marlin Ace?
Yes, Ron Marlin Ace.
I was wondering what the story was
behind
that.
I came in 2014 on a tour when Montana only had one, that was a Ron Marlin Ace pass down, and it went through, you know, Rick Hill and Dane Reberg and et cetera, all the way to me. So now it's back in the office.
Your office, though, it's like a museum of all your Navy SEAL memorabilia, the Montana memorabilia. Our tribal nations represented very well in your office as well, not just because of your, you know, Montana time, but also from your time as President Trump's Interior Secretary.
Well, I also have some interesting maps in the office of Montana in 1930s, what the counties look like. You know, fewer counties. You kind of change up where the population was in Montana. The Indian nations, you know, stretch far, far greater space than they do today. But no, this is Montana's office. You know, I'm just holding it. So, you know, a lot of Montanans come through. We highlight Montana artists in the office and have some wonderful, wonderful pieces. So
that reminds me, I've got to get a selfie with Aaron Graff's painting here.
As you walk in, Aaron is highlighted one unbelievable talent in here, as well as, you know, a lot of the art pieces there kind of represent, you know, Montana. We have Teddy Roosevelt in the corner, one of, I think, his best of portraits and lithographs.
Yeah. Well, it was so cool. I was huddled up with a bunch of Montanans over at Senator Dane's office for a watch party yesterday, right across the street from the Capitol as President Trump was being sworn in. I know you were in the rotunda, and I know your lovely wife Lola was there, because when they kept panning to the other room with the VIP, she was right in the front row.
She was front row.
As she should be.
Yeah. No, it was a exciting day. You know, and having been in D.C. before when 45 was coming in, you remember there was riots, there was anger, there was streets were on fire, and a lot of anger. The amount of anger was greatly diminished, and a lot of enthusiasm and hope that we actually can change this ship. It's largely replaced that. You know, it's great. And now the President of the United States is in office. 47 is at the helm.
And he is already rocking and rolling. This guy is unstoppable. The number of executive orders he already signed yesterday.
Well, I was with him last night. I tell you, he does not sleep. He's up first thing in the morning at the desk, no doubt about it.
And still going late into the evening. All right, well, we'll take a quick break here with Montana Talks live from Capitol Hill here at Congressman Zinke's office. We'll hear from our senators later this hour as well.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So, Congressman Zinke, you know, first off, I've been joking here. I had the senators come by earlier, and I said, you know, I told Tim Sheehy, I said, you know, the Army is occupying the Navy SEAL commander's office here. So,
it can only be you to bring the senators off the hill and ski down to here. Only for you.
Are you guys like slumming it now on the House side?
They come down to our chambers for the joint sessions, but yeah, you know, we obviously, you know, I'm very super happy with the lineup in Montana. We have three combat veterans and a son of a Marine. We have a very senior now, instrumental senator who was instrumental in bringing us the majority in the Senate nationally. He's moved up in leadership. You know, I'm in appropriations. Troy Downing is in finance, financial services. And Tim Sheehy just rocks no matter where he goes. So he's in, you know, defense, and you know, he's a change agent. And, you know, with Tim Sheehy coming in, from a football coach analogy, it's like he can run a 4-1-40. And you go, hey, he can run a 4-1-40. Put him in, coach.
It's like the,
just put him in. He'll make like things happen.
He's like the touchdown Tommy of the Senate right now. So for you, not only as Montana's congressman, not only as a Navy SEAL veteran, but as one, you know, a guy who served on President Trump's cabinet, what was it like being in the rotunda as here's President Trump delivering his speech and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris just had to sit there and take it?
You know, and Trump, I talked with Trump last night, and his speech, his staff was around him, and his original speech was a little more directed, and it did talk about, you know, giving pardons to families, et cetera. So his original speech was more, I would say, typical Trump.
Was Trump holding back.
I think Susie and the team got the marker out. but the delivery was good. And what a moment. You know, look, he's a fighter. Our country needs a fighter. And it was a moment of a shift of a peaceful transfer of power. You know, when I was secretary before, there was riots going on in the city at the same time. I didn't see that. Same people, by the way. People, you know, they hadn't changed. They hadn't moved out. Same people were rioting and throwing Maltese cocktails and that kind of stuff. But the attitude is a little different across the country. I think the policies the last 4 years, quite frankly, were so bad that people are going, you know what, I'm willing to give something else a try to get our economy back on track. And it's hard out there.
The optimism, though, is off the charts. We hear that from the NFIB talking about small business. I caught up with C.J. Stewart with the Crow Nation. He's their energy director earlier. And, of course, he's optimistic about what a Trump administration round two means for tribal energy projects as well. Look at everything we've accomplished.
And a fair shake. How's that? I mean, it's like, well, we're pro-Indian. And how about just fair? Just focus on being fair on that. And we
and
always
not talk, undermining.
Oh, undermining. And you know, I've always said, you know, as when I was a secretary, I became really aware of it. Is that if you were to look at, you know, one of Montana counties, and you got a county and right next to it, you have an Indian reservation, the amount of paperwork, the amount of bureaucracy, the amount on every aspect. Can you imagine have federal partners on EPA, and not even partners, they're dictators, you know, riding every decision? A county wouldn't put up with it. The state wouldn't put up with it. But yet, you know, structurally, we got to change. So I said, just be fair and make sure the nations can have by treaty, you know, a nation and an opportunity to take care of their people.
And sovereignty for developing American energy. That's exactly what President Trump talked about yesterday, is American sovereignty and unleashing American energy. Given everything you and President Trump accomplished when you served in his first administration, they're going to be moving even faster now, especially with his his nominees, more quickly moving through the Senate process.
Well, I hope so. You know, when I was secretary, there were 17 Senate-confirmed positions. After 2 years, I had 7 out of 17. Positions. And it wasn't like these guys, you know, were not qualified. You know, the U.S. Geological Survey director, 2 years it took him. You know, he had a degree in geology, he had a master's, he had a PhD in it. Oh, by the way, he was also an astronaut, right? So, and you look across, but this is why Trump was so, you know, I guess aware now, the second time, the slow-rolling security clearances, slow-rolling Office of Government Ethics review, what you can do. And he needs to get his people in, because in order to begin, he needs his team in, and we'll see this week. I'm hoping that at least PK Seth that we both know and very much appreciate and alike, right choice. And the national security team should be in this week. Yeah. They should have been in yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, I guess Marco Rubio just got sworn in as Secretary of State earlier this morning. Scott Bessent for Treasury just cleared committee, I think, and sounds like Elise Stefanik is going through right now. We'll hear a little bit more about that when I play my conversations with Senator Gaines and Senator Sheehy. But, yeah, Congressman Zicky, great to be here on the Hill with you and right here in your office. Feels right at home here with all the Montana folks.
Let me ask you a question. You know, we're both service members. We're both well served. Does it bother you that the State Department's in and Department of Defense is not? I mean, do they not value Department of Defense as much as Department of State?
Well, in no offense to our senators or to Marco Rubio, but it's like, oh, of course these senators, you know, mostly the Democrats on the other side of the aisle that are holding up Pete Hegseth till maybe later in the week, of course they'll put another senator in right away because he's a part of the club, right? But an American warrior like Pete Hegseth, you're going to make him wait? Oh, that fires me up.
Put Pete in.
Let's get him in there. Yeah, yeah. Did you see Trump doing the Trump dance with the sword last night?
It's so classic.
That was awesome. Josh Smith with the Montana Knight.
The president knows how to read a room.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Actually, Cade and I got to go. Actually, no, Congressman Zinke's going to come back to the microphone here for a couple more minutes, and then I'll have Caden, our great producer, cue up the audio of our conversation with Senator Steve Gaines just from earlier. But, yeah, we just had some more great Montanans pop into Congressman Zinke's office here. So we were joking
because both senators came down to the House, which rarely happens. It's only you. You could bring it down.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's the microphone. Well, and the ability to talk to folks all across Montana, in one place, in person. But so you were talking with President Trump last night. Yeah, Josh Smith with the Montana Knife Company. I'll try to play some of that for our listeners tomorrow. He came by your office earlier today. He was like 100 feet from President Trump last night, and Trump has this big sword at the Commander-in-Chief's ball, and he's cut it. He's about to cut the cake with the sword in front of him. He's doing the YMCA Trump dance with the sword at the Commander-in-Chief's ball. It's hysterical. If you go to Josh Smith, Montana Knife Company Instagram page, you'll see that there. But on a serious note, you spoke with Tom Holman yesterday. Our border, they're already working to secure that border right now on day one.
Yeah, it's two parts. One, you got to secure it, and then you got to make sure you round up. And I tell them up front, you know, look, Montana's got a lot of history of rounding up. We're pretty good at it. But my strongest recommendation is not my call, is utilize the local sheriffs. You know, we're pretty sensitive about outside people coming in and making decisions. So the local sheriffs are in the right spot. They know who's naughty and they know who's nice. But the local sheriffs are going to need someplace to put them. So I'm a big advocate of mobile detention and then, you know, process down in Denver and then get them out of here. And look, it's the criminals. It's the people that are causing havoc in society, and a lot of them. Across Montana, you talk to local sheriffs. There's drug trafficking, sex trafficking, child trafficking in every county to some capacity in Montana. That's unacceptable.
Somebody actually just asked me yesterday. They said, hey, I hear that there's some Montana sheriffs who've been working with Congressman Zinke that may be already working on some plans to do just that, help detain these illegal aliens and get them out of here. So that's
my role is, one, to make sure they have the funding, and two, do I can to make sure Montana is first. Because as they start deporting the South, you know, a lot of people probably will look at where they're not, and they'll go north. You know, what we don't need is an influx of more drugs, more crime, more syndicates, you know, coming to Montana. So we need to do our part up front to make sure that there's a message clear and absolutely unambiguous that Montana is not open for illegal immigration and drug trafficking and cartels.
Well, Congressman, Mr. Secretary Commander, great to see you. Thanks again for letting us use your office. We've been joking about the senators coming down to the house side or coming up to the house side.
House is definitely more rough and rumble by the Constitution than it should be.
We're a little scrappy.
We're having a lot of fun in the house. Let's make Congress great again.
It's a knife fight over here, but that's why you're here. You've taught people how to knife fight. Well, thanks for letting us use your office. I'm looking at my clock. We better let's now turn to it. Speaking of our senators, Caden, our producer, I think has the audio ready to roll back in studio. We caught up with Senator Steve Daines earlier this morning. Senator Steve Daines, great to see you here on the House side of the Hill. This is like a foreign country sometimes for the Senate side.
Well, as they say here on Capitol Hill, the Senate's the country club. The house is the truck stop, so glad to be over here in the people's house.
As long as the truck stop has coffee, I'm good to go.
I'm good to go, too.
Yeah, well, you guys are already hitting the ground running. You're already getting some of President Trump's team in place last night. While everybody's going to the parties, you guys are voting, getting some of these nominees across the finish line.
Yeah, literally true. Aaron, after we had to be just an absolutely remarkable day. I mean, what a great moment in American history. It sometimes tears as I was listening to the battle hymn of the Republic. And that, you know, the beautiful choir, the Marine Band, and to see J.D. Vance and President Trump standing there just a few feet away where I was able to be seated for the inauguration, a sight to behold. But then, as you said, okay, the formal protocol's over, time to get to work. And we came back to the Senate. I had a vote in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. We passed Marco Rubio out of the committee. And then we processed that on the Senate floor last night, 99-0, a shutout for President Trump, Marco Rubio, and he'll be sworn in today as the first cabinet official. We were calling him Marco Solo last night.
Yeah.
He'll be the first one out of the gate for President Trump. And then, I mean, it just continues. In fact, right if we wrap up this interview, Aaron, I'll be heading back to the Senate side. We will have Elise Stefanik, Congresswoman Stefanik, you know, 10 years in the House, President Trump's nominee to be the U.N. ambassador. Oh, boy, what a swamp to drain there in the U.N. And grateful for Elise's moral clarity on Israel, confronting the anti-Semitism, the wokeness in our university campuses. She is wonderful. I had a great chat with her yesterday, getting ready for today when she'll be in front of the committee. And then at 10:15, we'll be processing Scott Bessent's, who's Secretary of Treasury for Trump. We'll have a vote in the Finance Committee, which I'm on, and we'll process him through and then move as quickly as we can on the Senate floor. So it's really heads down, get these Trump nominees confirmed as quickly as possible. A lot of folks asked him, Pete Hegseth, he had a 14-13 vote in Senate Armed Services, which Sheehy's on that committee yesterday. Thank God for Tim Sheehy, a 14-13 vote. Think about that for a moment, Aaron.
Yeah, that would have gone the other direction.
That one Montana vote right there already making a difference here in Washington to get Pete through the process. But I'm confident you will call him Secretary Hegseth here very soon.
Yeah, that's great to see, especially a fellow veteran there, and then a fellow veteran like Tim Sheehy voting in committee to advance a fellow veteran like Pete Hegseth. Great news. And I think people really like to see you guys hitting the ground running because, you know, with Democrat control of the Senate, that's where everything went to die. And now we've got the opportunity to actually... America's got a second chance now. Being in the rotunda must have just been incredible. But I tell you what, you know, I'm kind of glad that actually the events got moved indoors because it was so cool. I got a chance to go hang out with all the Montanans. You and your staff was so gracious to host a watch party for all the Montanans that were here. And, you know, having all the Montana people in one spot and watching the ceremony, everybody was singing along together for the various hymns and things like that. It was just incredible. It felt like a little family watch party just, what, a block away from where the actual event was taking place.
Well, Aaron, we worked so hard to get tickets for Montanans who were expecting to be outside as part of the inauguration. And we just felt for these Montanans who, you know, they came dressed for battle. They know what it's like to sit at a Bobcat game or Grizzly game in November, sometimes in playoffs in December, and dress for one. In fact, I told our family, we have our entire family back here. So all of our children, their spouses, our six grandchildren, my mom and dad, dad's 85, mom's 82, they all came back to watch.
Yeah.
We are all here together as a Daines family to celebrate this moment in history. And I told them all, I was texting the family saying, hey, it's going to be cold. Dress like you're going to a Bobcat game in December. December, not church. Because sometimes you think about, well, you know, you want to put a coat and tie on it. No, no, no. Dress like you're going skiing or going to a football game in Montana. And then, of course, they made the decision, which was the right call. The problem they had 18-mile-an-hour winds yesterday. And this damp cold in D.C. is a different cold than you have back in Montana. It was the right call. And that moment we had, the acoustics in the rotunda, it was just absolutely beautiful. And I was hoping and praying that was coming through clearly to the TV audience. I was grateful I got to have a
seat. I thought it was powerful. I thought the ceremony was even more powerful and more intimate because everybody was packed into the rotunda. And I just loved the fact that, and I sent out a tweet while it was happening, that here's President Trump delivering his speech in the rotunda, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and everybody else, frankly, all these other presidents are sitting right there. But, you know, for what they did to him, for what they tried to do him, yeah, sit there and take it. They should have to sit there and
Aaron, I was, so many thoughts kind of flooding through your mind in the moment. And as I was standing, I'm thankful I had a very good seat. I mean, literally right there, a few feet away from where it was all happening and seeing it up close and personal. But I remember the Thursday night in Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention when I was invited by the Trump family to be in the Trump box that night. I spoke that night. That was the night I was on to give my remarks. But clearly, Aaron, I was the warm-up band. I mean, this is like some no-name compared to George Strait coming to the stage, which is Donald J. Trump. But it was the night I got to speak, and then I was asked to be with the Trump family in the box. And we had, as I walked into the box, and the president was there. And I said, Mr. President, of course, we all know this is 5 days earlier. He was nearly assassinated in Butler, Pennsylvania. That was on Saturday. This is the following Thursday. He still had the bandage on his ear. I said, Mr. President, we were literally a quarter inch away from tonight being your funeral. But instead, you're accepting the nomination to be our next president of the United States. And he referenced that about how God is spirit. And I told him, I said, Mr. President, I truly believe in the mystery of God's providence. Not understanding why was that fireman, why did he lose his life? And President Trump was spared. I don't understand that. But I do trust in God's providence and his plan. He spared your life, sir. You know, President Trump is usually never short on words, always has a lot to say. But in that moment, that Thursday night, in that quiet moment, he had nothing to say. He just was reflecting on that moment.
And Franklin Graham kind of referenced that in his incredible prayer yesterday as well, that it really does feel like this is a remarkable time in American history. I've been able to be in Washington, come to Washington before, and witness some events like this before. And it kind of seemed like American history, you know, the big historical moments were kind of history, right? This, you know, you are living in a remarkable moment in American history, not just living through it, but being a part of it with your vote as U.S. Senator.
Well, I heard one commentator reflecting on history saying he believed this was the greatest, most consequential election, at least in the last 100 years. I think that's true. I mean, there were two completely different visions and ideologies for America in terms of what Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were selling and President Trump's America First agenda. I just loved his unapologetic clarity in his inaugural address yesterday. I mean, as you said, I mean, you've got Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris sitting within 10 feet of him. And he just laid it down clearly. This was a chance to lay down his vision for America.
That's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. More of that conversation coming up right after this. And then we also caught up with Senator Tim Sheehy as well.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Last week, 427 national and state agricultural groups and agribusinesses sent a letter to leaders of the U.S. Senate Agriculture Committee supporting Brooke Rollins' nomination as Agriculture Secretary, calling on the committee and the entire Senate to promptly confirm her for the cabinet post. The Senate Ag Committee has set Rollins' confirmation hearing for this week on January 23rd. The groups noted they represent farmers, ranchers, growers, hunters, forest owners, conservationists, cooperatives, state departments of agriculture, renewable fuel producers, and agribusinesses nationwide, encompassing all aspects of American agriculture, food, nutrition, and rural America. A native of Glen Rose, Texas, Rollins is the founder and CEO of the America First Policy Institute and America First Works, a pair of organizations that have championed Trump's agenda. Rollins was also a member of President-elect Donald Trump's Economic Advisory Council in 2016. On Friday at the public auction yards in Billings, just under 5,000 head of mostly feeder cattle sold. The 5 to 5.5 weight steers priced at $3.47 up to $3.74. 5 and a half to 6 weight steers $3.30 to $3.54. 7 to 7.5 weight steers $2.80 to $3.03. A few bred cows also sold, 5 to 8 years old, bringing $2,050 a head. I'm Lane Northland.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, big thanks to our friends with Yellowstone Family Dental for making all of this presidential inauguration coverage happen. I've got a lot of photos, video, and more. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, the watch party at Senator Dane's office yesterday that we've been talking about. You can see the full video at MontanaTalks.com. But really, all of our coverage, our live radio coverage here on Capitol Hill today, and me walking around the city, covering the inauguration yesterday. Go to MontanaTalks.com. But this is sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental in Billings, Montana's premier center for dental implants. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com for more. All right, back to it here, our conversation with Senator Steve Daines earlier this morning.
I could not have been more proud. And I know there's a lot of smiles, a lot of Montana's faces when they woke up this morning saying, President Trump now is our president.
I heard Fox and Friends say, former President Biden. I was like, I was like, that cup of coffee, you could just see the good steam coming out of it when that was heard. President Trump doing that right in front of their faces, too. But I still thought he was very professional in the way he did it.
By the way, do you know something, too, Aaron, I noticed? I mean, I don't know. I haven't had a chance to even watch the pundits because I've been so busy the last 24 hours. So I haven't heard the commentators. But I'm sure somebody pointed out the fact he didn't have his red MAGA tie on yesterday.
Oh, I didn't notice that either.
J.D. Vance had his red. I mean, he was dressed like he was coming out from a MAGA rally.
Yeah.
The classic red Trump tie. Notice President Trump yesterday had a purple. It was a beautiful tie.
It was purple.
I've never seen him wear a purple tie.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I'll tell you, I mean,
which is a symbol of
it is a
bipartisan
of bringing the country together. And so he's not going to sugarcoat or dilute his convictions of where he's taking this country forward. But I noticed he wore a purple tie, and it was like, this is a message here. Do you want to get on board the train here? Everybody's welcome.
Yeah,
everybody's welcome.
That's a very interesting observation. Yeah. I was trying to listen to Fox when I was walking around D.C. I was trying to listen to Fox News in my ear while I was walking, and I don't think I remember anybody making that observation. It reminded me also of Governor Greg Gianforte's State of the State, where he also called out the nonpartisan and name-only Montana Supreme Court, which I thought was a great highlight from his remarks as well. I ran into him. Actually, I walked past all these VIPs going into these VIP buses, and all of a sudden I get a phone call. Hey, it's Greg. Come back to the bus and say hi. And it was Governor Gianforte. Well, Senator Daines, such an honor to see you here.
Sir,
and
thank you.
Thanks for making the walk
glad
over.
Glad
and maybe I'll see you if I get a chance to roam the halls on the Senate gallery or something like that. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
great
sir.
To see you in person.
Glad to be here, Darren.
All right. He's got to run. He's got another important vote to cast here in about 25 minutes. We should have also Senator Tim Sheehy with us, I think, after this.
Okay, and of course, Senator Tim Sheehy did end up coming down here to Congressman Ryan Zinke's office. Of course, Tim Sheehy, a native.
All right.
Ryan Zinke, a Navy.
This is great.
Producer Caden sounds like he's trying to get the audio queued up back there in the studio right now as we speak. I'm broadcasting live from Capitol Hill inside Congressman Zinke. He's working at his desk right now as I'm hanging out in the cool couch here and everything. Let's see. I think, do you have it ready to go back there? Okay, it's ready to go. Okay, here we go, Senator Tim Sheehy.
All right, this is great. I was just telling Navy SEAL and now U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, as I'm occupying Navy SEAL Commander Ryan Zinke's congressional office here, I said this office is now occupied by the Army here. But you spent time with both the Army and the Navy, so whatever, as long as there's good coffee, right?
As long as we're killing the enemy.
That's right. Well, Senator, I think this is my first time seeing you in person since being sworn in.
You're right.
Great to see you. What was yesterday like? What's it been like? I just love the fact that you guys are already getting right into action, getting the job done, getting President Trump's team in place.
That's exactly right. Last night we got Rubio in the Secretary of State. We passed the Lincoln Riley Act. There's going to be a number of other cabinet nominees coming through. We got Hegseth through committee last night, too. So, I mean, it is nights, weekends, holidays, whatever it takes. We're staying here to get as much done as fast as we can. I mean, we know that success in Washington is fleeting. I do think we've seen a structural change in the political landscape of America here after this election, but we can't take that for granted. So we got about 200 legislative days where we know we're going to be in control of the White House, Congress, and the Senate. We need to get as much done as we possibly can, as fast as we can. So that's what we're doing.
It really feels like America has a second chance now.
It does. And, you know, I remind people, obviously, I'm here in D.C., and most people, especially back home, are not, which is good. And be grateful for that. You don't want to be here. But, you know, let's not forget 8 years ago, right now, as we speak, you know, there was millions of protesters roaming the streets of America. You know, hundreds of thousands right here in D.C., you know, burning cars, you know, the Women's March, the protests, the resistance movement, member resist was everywhere. We don't see any of that. We don't see any of that. And that's not by accident. It's because the opposition has realized that they lack a message. They lack a policy set that resonates with the American people. And, you know, they lack a clear plan. And, you know, I think these fires in L.A., tragic, you know, terrible fires, which Montana has shown up for, by the way. You know, Billings Flying Service, Bridger Aerospace, Neptune Aviation, great Montana companies that have gone to the aid of our brethren in California. But it's almost a symbol of dysfunction from just wrong-headed policies. You know, no common sense, no land management, no common sense in our first response structure. So it's a new day in America. People are excited. The optimism, you can feel it. Even in this town, which, you know, D.C. is like 92% Democrat or something like that, even more. But walking the streets these past couple days, I mean, the energy's there. People are excited.
Yeah, I got to run into one of my fellow veterans. Actually, he's still serving in a couple of different capacities, but Montana guy that I served over in Africa with. So it was fun catching up with him. I know you probably see all sorts of fellow veterans just being in Washington, especially with the mass of law enforcement here right now. What was it like being in the actual rotunda during a moment like this? All those former presidents, right there, Donald Trump right in front of, right next to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, basically laying it out. And I love the fact that they just had to sit there and take it because of what they tried to do to him, what they did do to him.
Again, it was a clear mandate. It was a statement that we're back. And I thought the president's speech at inauguration was fantastic. You know, he laid out a clear vision that we are going to unleash the American dream again. And I think that that's an important way to phrase it, because American energy, we're going to unleash it again. American military, we're going to make it strong and combat focused against our enemies. No, not to be invading countries every other week like we've been seeing in the last 3.5 years. We're going to unleash the American economy, our great American entrepreneurs, our businesses. We're going to go back to Mars, or we're going to go to Mars with a person. So we've been there with probes, but now we're going to send the flag to Mars. We're going to reinvigorate American technological prowess, bring manufacturing back. And then, you know, just common sense policies that very clearly the American people voted for.
Elon Musk looked like a little kid. I don't know if you could see his face in person. But I saw it. He looked like a little kid when Donald Trump talked about planting the stars and stripes on Mars.
He did. Occupy Mars. Exactly.
Yeah. So. Do you think some of these guys, like seeing Zuckerberg there, is this a real conversion, or are they just trying to bide their time through the next 4 years? What do you think?
You know, these are smart guys, whether you agree with them or not. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos. I mean, these guys are exceptionally intelligent, successful people. And they didn't get there by making dumb decisions. And I think they've realized, again, last time Trump came to office, there was this wave of resentment, of resistance. You know, this time, I think what you're seeing from them is a realization that the last 4 years have been an unmitigated disaster in every respect. All socioeconomic classes, all races, colors, creeds, nobody other than legal immigrants has done better these last 4 years in this country. Nobody. I mean, it's been a disaster. So I think they have massive data sets at their disposal, whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, ordering histories on Amazon, whether it's just a lot of smart, well-paid consultants. They have a lot of data sets at their disposal that are telling them there has been a structural shift in the American political landscape, and therefore for their businesses, they better orient them appropriately. And that's why they were all there yesterday. I think it was a recognition that this is kind of a Reagan moment where there's been a shift in the political landscape in this country. It's probably going to stay that way for a while, and they better be on the right side of it.
It was so cool. Yesterday, I attended a watch party with a bunch of Montanans. Got to see Turk Stovall and his beautiful family, his little kids, and their cowboy hats on. And, of course, you know, you guys are good friends. You've done a lot of, you know, cattle ranch work together. But, you know, seeing, you know, your friends like Turk and his kids, and then obviously, you know, you as a veteran, so many folks are so excited to see a young veteran like you in a position like this. I think only the second ever special operations or Navy special operations veteran to actually be sworn into the Senate. And so how will you stay grounded, do you think? I mean, I know it's just the first couple of weeks. How do you think you'll stay grounded? I mean, those of us that know you know that you're not going to forget where you came from because it's just ingrained in you, that sacrifice. But how do you think people in a position like yours can stay grounded in the midst of all this stuff?
Well, as you know, kids will keep you grounded.
Hold it right there, Caden. Yeah, hold that right there. He has a great response to that question about. So we'll hold it right there, and then we'll play more with our conversation with Senator Tim Sheehy, Navy SEAL veteran, right after this. And then I'll see how much time remains because, man, we got a lot more that I could share with you before it's time. Man, so many great folks we're running into.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
How do you think people in a position like yours can stay grounded in the midst of all this stuff?
Well, as you know, kids will keep you grounded no matter what.
They don't care
what your title is or how much you get paid. You know, they're going to wake up in the middle of the night and puke, and they're going to demand you to, you know, help with their homework regardless. And sort of, you know, owning animals, you know, horses and cows. I mean, that they don't care either. You know, they require care and feeding at all hours of the night, all days of the week. You know, whether you're rich or poor, regardless. So I think staying in touch with that, you know, we have not moved and are not moving our family to D.C. Specifically for that reason. You know, we want our kids to continue to grow up in Montana. A lot of families do move here, and that's I'm not judging anybody whether they do or not. You know, it's a tough choice to make, no question, because it is a tough travel schedule. But it's very important to us that the values, you know, of Montana, the values of the heartland of America, that's where we want our children to be raised. That's where we want them to grow up. And then we're not going to change that, and I'll be doing the back and forth a lot, and therefore being in state still a really important part of that. So
I saw a photo you tweeted out with the Naval Academy Glee Club that did an incredible job singing in the rotunda yesterday. What a remarkable opportunity for those, 19, 20-year-olds?
Yep.
The first couple that came out, I thought that guy was a Navy chief. Because I just saw the Navy,
anchor,
but also this guy had a command presence. I mean, if people were crowding the aisle, he just barreled through, elbowed his way through, and kept singing. And you had to be really proud as a Naval Academy graduate.
Yeah, the Naval Academy Glee Club, they're one of the top, you know, choirs in the nation. And obviously, I was not a part of that. I don't have the skills to be in the Naval Academy Glee Club. They would always get these amazing trips. And my roommate at the Naval Academy was part of it, and I was always jealous because, I mean, the rest of us would be doing push-ups or going on a 10-mile run and or just doing homework, and they'd get whisked away to something like this. It was great to see them there. Afterwards, I went and visited with them, got a picture with them, and obviously my wife went to the Naval Academy. We met there, so told them that story and had a really fun time. And then I had some West Point cadets in the day before who were in a political science class learning about, you know, just how the American government works and its structure, and that was really fun seeing them too, because we have to invest in the next generation. We have to bring common sense back to our education system at all levels. We're supposed to be educating and enlightening kids, teaching them how to think, not what to think. And I think, you know, we have to get back to that. It's just one of those common sense initiatives that we have to bring back, is making sure our education system is raising people who are ready to be adults at the end of it.
So I had Josh Smith from the Montana Knife Company come by earlier. It was great catching up with him. It was his first trip ever to D.C., but he's good buddies with Don Jr., so he was at the Commander-in-Chief's Ball. About a minute before I get to my next break, I kind of asked him, what's the coolest thing you've seen or somebody you've run into or whatever? I mean, aside from President Trump himself over the last few days, just for all the inaugural festivities.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fantastic meeting with honestly, our cabinet nominees that are coming in. I think Trump's put together just an amazing cabinet this cycle. And some of them I know, like Chris Wright and Doug Burgum. Others I don't. But it's been really a fascinating experience just getting to know a lot of them. Now, obviously, Hegseth spent a lot of time with him these last couple weeks. Doug Collins, who will be actually meeting here very shortly with our VA committee. We've got just an awesome cabinet. Howard Luktick, just all across the board, we've got some sharp people that are actually successful people before who are going to do a great job in these new roles to put America first again.
Of course, our inaugural coverage here, we are broadcasting live from Capitol Hill, sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental in Billings. See why people come from all over the Northwest for the most advanced and respected dental office. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com. Senator Sheehy, if you got a run, I understand, because I know your day is racked and stacked. I do have a quick break I got to hit right here. Either way, thanks for coming down to the House side to come see us.
Yeah. Thanks for coming to D.C. Appreciate it.
All right, great to see you. We'll see you back in Montana soon, I'm sure. Okay, he's got to run, but we'll be able to catch up.
All right, yeah, and by the way, I'm going to have a lot more content on our Montana Talks podcast later today. You can get it on the Montana Talks app podcast players like Spotify and more. Yesterday, after that watch party with all these great Montanans, in Senator Dane's office watching the inauguration ceremonies a block right across the street from the Capitol in the Hart Senate office building, I caught up with Montana Stockgrower's first vice president, Turk Stovall, a great Montana rancher. And, of course, he's a good friend of Tim Sheehy's as well. I asked him just what it was like having his family there for the inauguration and more.
Well, the electricity is something you can just feel literally, and you get goosebumps just seeing all the people here. And just really, it's amazing to just get the feeling of the transfer of power and how not only such a big deal for our country, but really the whole world.
You tell me a little bit ago, also on a personal level, what it's like to be here. You got your wife and your kids here. I was here 24 years ago when your mom and dad were here, and your dad rode on horseback, I believe, in that presidential inaugural parade.
Yeah, and that was what an experience. Yeah, they. My dad and many and some other ranchers were with then U.S. Senator Conrad Burns, and just remember hearing their stories of how neat that was, and then to bring my family here and experience the same thing, you know, it's just actually almost even been emotional for me to share with my kids, my wife, just hey, your grandma and grandpa were here, and now here we are, and sharing that all together, and I was even wearing commemorative. I was wearing my dad's tie today, so it was just pretty neat. And you know, the legacies of Montana and just how important this is to all Montana farms and ranches of what just happened here today.
And we talked a lot about, I've got more where that came from. I had a little bit more of a conversation with Turk Stovall there, but just the symbolism of, you know, every Montana rancher wants to pass that family ranch down to the next generation. And so here he is passing down this American tradition and patriotism to his next generation, just like one day he'll hopefully also pass that family ranch down to the next generation as well. Great to see so many fine Americans and Montanans here in Washington.